Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
I'm Greg Blaze, host of Cutting the Curd. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America, I'm Chad Pagano. I'm a former Army sniper, a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid lifelong hunter, and you're listening to the Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Hearth, airing live on heritageradionetwork.org. Welcome back. All right, so today I'm all by my lonesome, and I'm going to take you through or help you get out of the cabin fever you're all stuck in right now, and today's the most perfect day for that. You know, us hunters, outdoorsmen in general, by this time every year, you're just itching to get outside, get out into the woods. You're looking for some animal to harvest, and, you know, we got turkeys. It's still coyote season, and I'm really looking forward to, you know, getting out there for some last-minute coyote hunts. But again, you know, we talked about this. I don't like eating coyote. And you know the mantra of the Wild Game Domain, if you kill it, eat it. So I'm still feeling guilty, even though I'm helping the deer herds and other animals. These coyotes are overpopulated. I still have this little guilty feeling inside. May 1st starts turkey season, so we're looking forward to that. And then a little further off, we have turtle season here in the Northeast, New York specifically. And it's funny, you know, turtle hunting, as some people call it, I call it turtle finding, actually. I wouldn't exactly call it hunting. I think of it more as foraging for protein. You know, you'd forage for mushrooms, right? Well, foraging for protein and finding one of these snapping turtles is just a treasure chest full of protein and good, delicious meat. You know, my first experience with turtle hunting, I guess, came in the military. And I was stationed at Fort Drum, and we were doing some training exercise. And I was, I was a new recruit. I had just gotten there. And it was funny because we were like, all right, cool. We're getting to our base, and we'll be able to hang out. And we got there, and they were like, all right, get packed. Here's your packing list. We're going out in the field to go train. And so within like 2 days of being at Fort Drum after basic training, we had deployed out to the field for some training. And I still remember my first team leader, Sergeant Madurkian. I hope that's his name. I don't know what ethnic background he was, but he was big. He was mean. He was some kind of like Eastern European kind of thing going on there, and salt of the earth kind of guy. You know, we're supposed to shave every day in the military, but this guy seemed to have a beard every morning, and I was like, that's a man right there. You know, I was 19 years old. I could barely grow facial hair. But we went out in the field, and we were on this one mission, and you know, training mission, and I was laying in the swamp. And I think they took us out to like the roughest part of the base just to test us. Let's see if these kids could handle it. And it was cold. It was spring, but it was still cold, Canadian border. And I remember laying in this puddle on the edge of the swamp and just sitting there for hours, pulling security and watching, I don't know, 100 snapping turtles kind of leaving their nests after hibernating all winter and kind of coming out into the shallows. And you could see them hunting. I watched them for hours just back and forth along the edge of the deep water on the swamp. And I watched them, you know, dig for worms. I watched them eat flies, bugs, crickets. It was a really amazing thing. So Merck, as we called him, came over at one point. He said, how's it going? You see anything? I said, no, the only thing I'm seeing are these stupid turtles. He's like, and his eyes lit up. He went, oh, there's turtles out there? They're out of nest. All right. He goes, next time you see them, shoot it. And we didn't have live ammo. We had blanks. I'm like, okay. And now, you know, 1,000 things are going in my head. I'm like, first of all, A, I'm a hunter. Is it legal? Second of all, is he just messing with me? Is he testing me? Like, am I an idiot? Like, I'll try to shoot a turtle, and then he'll be like, see, dummy, you don't shoot turtles. We shoot communists. Or, you know, he'd give me some line like that. So I said, okay, Sergeant. I said, are you serious? And he said, yeah, you don't have... He's like, all right, let me show you. Where's your cleaning kit? So I took out my cleaning kit, and the cleaning kit has a cleaning rod that breaks down into sections. You screw them together, and then you can clean the barrel of your rifle. So he said, get one of your sections out. And he dropped that into the barrel of my rifle, and he said, when you fire your blank, there'll be enough powder to propel this section of your cleaning rod. He goes, aim for its head. If you don't hit it in the head, obviously the shell, it's not going to penetrate. If you don't hit it in the head, it's just going to walk away and get back in the water. You got to make a clean shot. You got to drop him in his tracks. I said, all right, no problem. So he walked off. I'm sitting there, and I'm still debating, should I do this? But I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it. Sergeant said, that's it. Lawful order, got to follow it. I'm a good soldier. So here comes this now giant turtle in my eyes. I don't know. It was 400 pounds in my eyes. It was coming out of the deep water. And just like the other ones, it came up onto the shore. And it was basically looking directly at me. And if you've never seen a snapper or snapping turtle, they're prehistoric. They're evil. Google it. Look it up. They're evil looking, you know. And I put the crosshairs right on his head. And he had to be, I don't know, 25 yards from me. And I thought, this is never going to work. I pulled the trigger. The cleaning rod. It was almost like I could see the cleaning rod. I guess the weight of it and the amount of powder and these stupid blanks. It kind of lobbed the cleaning rod at it. But it flew like an arrow and embedded right in the top of the turtle's head. And the turtle just picked its head up further. Looked around, tried to pull its head into its shell, hit the cleaning rod, couldn't get its head in, took 2 steps backwards the way I remember it, and then I just saw its head flop over, and I just had my first successful turtle hunt. So I didn't want to get up. We're in a tactical training situation. But I fired a round. So now everyone's calling me on the radio. Did you fire? Who fired? Who fired? Now, again, I'm a rookie. I still know what to do. So I'm like, I don't know who fired. Anybody, someone fired? And finally, Merc comes crawling over. He's like, how'd you do? You get it? I heard the shot. I said, yeah, he's right there. Look. And he said, ooh, that's a big one. He's like, that's a 35 pounder like that. So we walked over to it. We pulled it back. And I'm like, all right, great. What the hell are we going to do? He's like, what the hell are we going to do? We're going to eat this thing. You crazy? This is a delicacy. So make a long story short, the training mission ended that night. We marched back. I had a 35 pounds in my rucksack. I had put it into my, I took all my stuff out of my waterproof bag. I put this turtle in it, and we got back to the barracks. Merc came over, and he was just loving the fact that we had this giant turtle. And so he put it on the butcher block, which was the porch of our barracks. And he took out his service knife, and I pulled the head out, utilizing the cleaning rod that was still lodged in its head that I didn't have any, I didn't have the guts to pull out. I didn't want to drain all the blood into my bag, so I thought the cleaning rod was kind of holding all the blood in, and I was kind of right. When we finally pulled that rod out, the blood started flowing. He hacked the head off, which was a lot harder than I expected it to be, but their skin is very thick. And we proceeded to hang the turtle and drain it out. And the blood dripped for about 4 or 5 hours. We let all the blood run out. We proceeded to clean this thing. We made this kind of stew with the turtle, and I couldn't believe how delicious it actually was. It was unbelievably good. Now, you got to realize where I was. And with full disclosure, that was the last time I had turtle in my life. So we were in the military. We ate MREs. We ate crappy barracks food. So I was in and this had been a couple of months because I had gone through basic training and the whole thing. So I don't know if it was all in my head, but I loved it, man. These moist, kind of salty pieces of meat. And people say chicken, right? Oh, it tastes like chicken. Not really. It was kind of, it was closer to fish for me. You know, somewhere cross between chicken and fish, but it had a lot more body to it, a lot more structure in the meat itself, you know. And then everything he put in, I can't remember exactly. You know, it was like pretty typical stew. He did like a red stew for this turtle. And, you know, it was, he did some canned tomatoes in there, some garlic, onion. I think he threw some potatoes in there, and it was really, really delicious. And it was funny because I've thought of that story often, and I never really considered turtle hunting, you know, or turtle finding, as I'm going to call it. But I don't know, two or three, I think I told this story, turkey hunting. A buddy of mine came across a giant snapping turtle. I got pictures. I'm going to send it to Jack. Maybe he'll use that as our picture for the show today, holding up this giant snapping turtle. And we were just kind of turkey hunting in May, and this thing was sunning itself on the logging trail we were on by the swamp in Orange County. And, you know, and it's funny because that story came flooding back to me as we approached this thing. And I was trying to get my phone out and search the dates for legal harvest and everything. And my friend squashed it right away. He's apparently a turtle lover. And he's like, you can't kill a turtle. No, they're prehistoric. This thing's 400 years old. I love turtles. And I was like, I'll lop the head off of that thing right now. We'll hang it. I'm telling you, Merck made this delicious stew. It'd be delicious. He wouldn't let me kill it, but we got a great picture. I'm going to put that up. And then, you know, from that day on, I started thinking about it, and I've talked to my son about it. And, you know, one of these days I'll get out there hunting these turtles. But there's guys that really across this country that make a living hunting these turtles, snapping turtles, diamondback turtles. I think down south they have these, what they call alligator turtles. They're probably snapping turtles. But, you know, they get up to 250 a pound for some of these turtles. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know the law, because we know you can't sell wild game in this country, but apparently turtles aren't on that list. You could go out and harvest. They're probably thought of as aquatic, like, you know, commercial fishing. So you can harvest them and sell them. And the price varies, 50 cents to 250 a pound, depending on where and I guess the quality or size of the turtle. You know, like most shell-bearing animals, you know, there's a lot of disagreement on what size is the best. The thing for me is, you know, I've seen recipes for soft-shell turtles down south. They find these turtles, and they, you know, as babies, and they'll pan fry them with a little butter and garlic. To me, that sounds like, I love soft-shell crabs. Why wouldn't I do a soft-shell turtle at the end of the day? But mostly up here in New York, we're harvesting full, mature, grown snapping turtles. Basically, our season up here runs for snapping turtles. It starts in July through September, so you got some time off. Go kick around your property. You know that swamp you've been avoiding in the middle of your property? That's where they are. You know that creek that leads into the bigger river, or the creek or river that leads into that lake? Right there, you're going to find them there in the shallows, the overflow at that point, the swampy areas of your property. You should be hunting those areas anyhow, because that's where the big bucks are. You know, those swamp bucks we're looking for. You should be getting in there with your rubber boots. But if you haven't been in there, good time to go out scouting, look for some turtles. So, you know, summer months, you're going to have some tennis sneakers on, maybe some boots, you know, shorts. You get out there, you have a good time looking for these snapping turtles. The thing is, here in New York, you're not supposed to go around trying to grab them. And no one, you know, DEC doesn't tell you this on their webpage. They don't say, hey, don't grab them, because we're the government. We think all people are stupid except for us. But they don't want you out there grabbing them. Because I don't know if you know this, it's not a wife's tale. A snapping turtle, full grown snapping turtle, 20-pound snapping turtle, will bite your finger off. It has the bite force to take a finger off. If it latches onto you, you could be in a little bit of trouble. And their head extends from that shell a lot further than the cartoons would imply. That head comes whipping out and gets onto your hand or finger, you're going to be in you're going to be on your way to the hospital. So the New York State DEC wants us to shoot them. They want us to actually use a firearm or a bow. Now, you've heard my experience with these things. I've never gone out and hunted them like that. But I've read stories, and I actually talked to a buddy of mine who has bow hunted. And he uses it as a fine tune for his bow, and he goes out and bow hunts these things. And basically, he's trying to headshot these things. He's trying to place it. The way he explained it to me, he's aiming with his bow tech. He's got a high-speed compound bow, and he's using typical, you know, barbed heads to do as much damage as he can. And basically, he's aiming right above the head of the turtle. He's waiting for that turtle to hunt. And basically, you know, like most animals, when they're eating, their head goes down, exposing the back of their neck and the opening of that shell. And the way he explained it, he tries to graze the top of their head and kind of sink that arrow in right into their back under the shell. And he's harvested successfully, you know, I forgot what he said, you know, multiple, you know, 30, 40, 50 turtles, and he loves it. He loves the challenge of the hunt. He loves eating them. He loves the whole process. And there's a few other things we need to discuss, because there's some disagreement. The government, DEC, who I generally respect, as you know, have a couple of warnings on consuming turtles. They want us to discard the fat, the liver, and some other parts. If it's pregnant, they don't want you to eat the eggs of the turtle. So we'll get into that after the break here. We'll take a short break, and we'll be right back with the Wild Game Domain on heritageradionetwork.org.
And this is called Jump Rope by the Ginger Lees from Mama Coco's. You're listening to Wild Game Domain.
One, Heritage Foods USA has sold pasture-raised, antibiotic-free heritage meats to restaurants and homes around the country. Our farmers raise their animals with care using traditional methods guaranteed to produce the very best-tasting meat. Our pork breeds include Berkshire, Red Wattle, Duroc, Gloucester Old Spot, Large Black, and Tamworth, and our beef comes from Piedmontese, Angus Akiyushi, Belgian Blue, Highland, Simmental, and Belted Galloway cattle. We also carry a rotation of 24 rare breeds of heritage chicken, seasonal specialties like lamb, goat, geese, and of course, heritage turkeys. Visit us online at www.heritagefoodsusa.com or give us a call at 718-389-0985 to place your order today.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the Wild Game Domain on heritageradionetwork.org. All right, so what do we talk about? Snapping turtles, right? This, how do we want to define it? Abundant and pretty much free source of delicious protein can be, you know, it can be found anywhere, any body of fresh water, and really anywhere in the eastern North America, really, up and down the coast. For that matter, they're a cinch to kind of harvest. There's a lot of them out there, and I'm going to tell you my memory of them. They taste delicious. You know, and really they say the snapping turtle's the tastiest of all the turtles. There's also in New York, they also do a, diamondback turtle, terrapin. Diamondback terrapin, and that's from August 1st to the 30th. But for that one, you got to use traps, dip nets, seining nets. You got to trap them in some way because they're a little more particular about harvesting. You know, the snapping turtle has to be at least 12 inches, which generally isn't a problem. I've rarely seen snapping turtles smaller than that in the wild. You tend to pick up on the bigger ones. They're easier to see, easier to spot. But for a diamondback, they have to be at least 4 inches and no bigger than 7 inches. So they're a little more specific, so they want you to trap them. They're not as dangerous, if that's the right word, than snapping turtles. So they don't mind you going over, picking them up, sizing them, and putting them back if they are too big. But, you know, we got a renewable food source out there. As outdoorsmen, we should be utilizing it. So, you know, identifying these things are pretty easy. First of all, they're mean. You just see their behavior in the wild. If you're sitting on, I told you, sit on the edge of that creek where it runs into the lake, or that river where it runs into the lake in that swampy area there. And if you see one, you'll know it's a snapping turtle. They're mean. They're ugly. They're mean. You could just see the way they walk around. They're the bully in the bar. You know, they're tougher than the rest of the turtles. If you see a turtle that's kind of shy, laying back, cautious about what it's doing, it's probably not a snapping turtle. Its shell is dull. You know, they down south, I think they call them mossy backs. You know, they're typically, you know, covered in moss or algae covered, you know, so it's kind of this dull greenish black shell on it. You know, and that's the armor, obviously. And the turtle's head is pretty uneventful. It's pretty normal looking turtle heads. You know, it's got four legs. It's quick and flexible. You'd be surprised how relatively quick it is. You know, we're used to watching the cartoons, and turtles are always very slow. I mean, you know, it's not a rabbit, but it can move pretty quick, especially in its environment. When it's in that, you know, 6 inches, 4 to 6 inches of water, somewhere in there, or anything deeper, really, it's pretty maneuverable. It could get underwater pretty quick. And the thing is, keep in mind, again, that head could come out very far, and it's flexible. It could turn around. It comes back over the shell. I've seen them where they're very agile. You know, the idea you flip a turtle over, it's stuck. And, well, not a snapping turtle. It uses its tail and its head to kind of push itself back over. So you flip a snapping turtle over, it gets back. It gets righted pretty quickly at the end of the day. You know, and like I said, most of them are about a foot long. And they go, I don't know, 8 to 10 inches wide. A turtle of that size is going to weigh between 10 and 20 pounds. But, you know, coming across a 30-pounder, a 35-pounder, it's not unheard of. You know, very old turtles, you know, anywhere, snapping turtles anywhere, you know, and we're talking 80 to 100 years old for an older turtle. They may tip the scales at about 50 to 60 pounds. You come across those, you're going to be eating all right. You know, down south, there's these alligator snappers, as they call them. And, you know, I think it's a down south snapping turtle. And in that environment, then they've been known to get to 100 pounds, 150 pounds, these snapping turtles. They've been known to eat ducks, you know, wildlife like that. What they'll do, they'll swim under the duck and actually surprise it and grab it by its foot and pull the duck under and drown the duck and then consume it. But these turtles, they're going to hibernate all winter, so you won't see them in, you know, when it's cold out. But here comes the spring now, right? It's upon us. I'm sitting here in Brooklyn. I'm squinting. The sun's coming through on me. It's beautiful. They can be found in the wetlands, those muddy areas of streams or lakes. I found them in drainage ditches on this one property I hunt in Orange County. There's an old railroad track with this drainage ditch, and it, you know, during the rainy months in the spring, it fills with water, and I've seen many of them on the edge of that, just kind of hunting. You know, they're carnivores, they're scavengers, they live on whatever they can find. They'll eat insects, fish, Like I said, birds, they'll eat ducklings. Any carrion found in their environment, they'll consume it. A lot of guys go out and bait with hot dogs or rotting chicken, things, chicken guts, things like that. The best way to do this is to basically set up on the edge of one of these wetlands and observe, watch, you know. You could bait if you want, you know, go out there, chum a little bit, throw into that shallow 4-inch swampy water, whatever you have laying around, some cut up hot dogs, raw meat, you know, go buy some cheap meat, hack it up, let it get nice, you know, put it in the back of your truck for a couple of days, your pickup truck, and let it get nice and ripe, and you throw that in there. You'll definitely see them coming out. So these bloody chunks of beef, I've used neck bones from birds, you know, that I've hunted. The thing is, they're typically night feeders. You know, they're only going to come out at night for the most part. But if you entice them on the edges, you know, like most wild animals, the early mornings, great time when that sun's just rising, you'll kind of see them right before it gets pitch dark. You could go ahead and get out there and hunt them. But after you harvest, you know, and use whatever you got. Get your son out there with your 22. Take your 22 out of the case and go out there. Use the 22. It's a great round for turtle hunting. Practice, you know, practice your marksmanship. Get out there. But now you've harvested your first turtle. Great. Now what do we do, right? Hopefully you made a clean shot. The thing didn't get into deep water. If it did, get in there, find that turtle. They typically, from what I understand, if you shoot them, do not expel their air. So if they have air in them, you know, from the breathing process, they won't sink. They tend to float for a while. I guess there's some air in the shell too. But if they sink, you've probably lost it. So now the fun part, you got to clean a snapping turtle. And you know, I told you about Merck doing it, cut the head off. We didn't get into the whole thing. So here it is. I didn't know how to do it. And I was like, wow, this is going to be something. I've gutted plenty of animals. I've harvested and gutted birds, rabbits, turkeys, plenty of deer. I did a bear by that point, you know, so I thought I was good. But basically, this thing's like peeling an armored tank. You know, you got to get in there. The first step, you know, the first thing he did was obviously cut off the head. And then you got to let it drain. We had a dead snapping turtle, you know, so he, like I said, he pulled the head out. He cut the head off at the base. So you kind of see it's the neck is kind of as thick as the head, but you can make out the skull cap and where his neck starts, and you kind of get in there and he cut it. And then you got to hang it. You know, you got to let it bleed out. You don't have to. And he was telling me, you know, back home they wouldn't. They would just kind of cut the head off and then get into it. We were doing it on the porch of our barracks and people were walking by and stuff. So he's like, I just don't want a lot of blood. So we kind of hit it on the side of our barracks, let it bleed out a lot. And that made the cleaning of this thing a heck of a lot easier. So now you have this thing that, the head's off. Now we got to get into the shell, right? We got to get to the body of this turtle. So what you find is it's almost like doing a shucking a clam in some ways. There's right where the neck protrudes, you'll see the space between the bottom shell, which is somewhat softer than the top shell. And you got to get a good, strong kind of knife in there and almost pry open as you work your way around one side of the shell. Once you kind of get that one half of the shell, kind of, it's not like cracking it. You got to kind of get in there and pry it open, and some of it splits off, some of it breaks. It's a messy undertaking the way I remember it. But he eventually got through that whole side of the shell and then reached in there and kind of ripped that bottom shell off completely and turning the turtle onto its back. At this point, you're just skinning a turtle. You know, you're skinning any kind of wild animal. The turtle, its back is kind of attached to the shell. And what he did, he came in from the side of the shell, and he kind of started just kind of, you know, paring the meat away from what is the top of the shell. He pulled it up that way, and he got to the other side, and as he lifted the whole turtle from that shell, it left big sections of meat along the shell that were on either side of the turtle. And he threw that aside. He said, "We'll get back to that. That's the best part. That's the tenderloin of the turtle." And he proceeded to cut its feet off, its tail off. He went back and later skinned the tail and got a little meat out of that, but he proceeded to gut it. He skinned this turtle, which was surprisingly big. I mean, bigger than a pheasant at the end of the day. And we proceeded to hack it up. And, you know, like he said, you know, stews, soups, things like that, you know, are pretty easy to make. And it's a relatively, depending on the size and age of the turtle, a relatively tough meat. So you want to go ahead and use those kind of techniques, you know, long, slow cooking techniques. And, you know, even a pressure cooker would be great for turtle. So we picked off most of the meat. We discarded the bones. He said back home they would save all the bones and they would actually use it for broth. And we had like a 10-quart kettle. We combined the meat. We used a little bit of, we threw all the meat in, a little bit of olive oil. We kind of browned the meat up in there a little bit. We had cabbage. He threw some cabbage in there. I think I remember corn, like a cup of peas. And then he had navy beans, I think he had, and we threw those in there. Some carrots, some celery, some potatoes, the juice of a lemon. And then, you know, he topped it off with his tomatoes. He had whole tomatoes, canned tomatoes, you know, with all the liquid in there, and he poured them in, and we simmered that thing for like 3 or 4 hours. And in the meantime, we made some noodles. And we served that turtle stew over you know, egg noodles. And wow, it was really good. There's a million ways to do it. You know, people will fry it, pan fry it, work with it in that way. But like I said, the only experience I had was stewed like that. And the stew ended up being this deliciously, you know, sweet, tomato-y, you know, and a lot of meat in this thing at the end of the day, and all the vegetables. You could use anything. If you know how to make stew, get out there and harvest the turtle and make some stew. I remember he froze the leftovers. We shared it like four guys that were ready, and he froze the leftovers. And he broke it out. You know, I don't know, a couple of months later, I remember I went by his room, and it's there was a delicious smell coming from his room. And I said, "Merk, what are you doing?" He said, "You remember the turtle? Look." And he'd thawed it out in the microwave, and he was just chowing down on the straight stew and enjoying it very much. So, listen, if you have cabin fever, if you're a hunter, you probably do by now. I'm shaking. I can't wait to get out there. It's another option for over the summer. When you're done with turkey season, you have nothing else to do. You're waiting on deer. You know, get out there and knock around. It's a good time to scout, right? You should be out there scouting the deer anyhow. Get out there and scout and see if you come across any of these delicious renewable food sources out there. Well, thank you for joining me today. Appreciate it. Hope you found that interesting and informative, but that's all the time we have today. I'd like to thank Jack for producing and engineering today's show, and you could always find archived episodes of The Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Heart on heritageradionetwork.org or on iTunes as a podcast. And remember, if you kill it, you better eat it. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
The theme song for Wild Game Domain is called Lockjaw by Four Lincolns. Thanks for listening.